Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. Our reading from Genesis this morning is an analog to the reading from last week. Last week we heard the story of Hagar and Ishmael. You remember, Isaac now has been born. Ishmael and Isaac were found one day joyously playing, and Sarah was having none of it. She asked, or actually told Abraham, to take that woman and her son out into the wilderness, far enough away that as they died, their screaming would not be heard. But you remember, God redeems Hagar and Ishmael. God reminds them that they will have a people of their own. God has mercy. Some scholars say that the reading from Genesis for this morning is sort of an analog to what we read last week. It appears much later in Genesis, but some scholars think that what's happening in this text is that Abraham has forgotten about hospitality, about giving thanks. And so God tests Abraham, it says in our text. God calls out Abraham. And Abraham says, "Here I am." And then God asks the unthinkable, the unimaginable. "Take your son," God says, and then just to drive home the point, "your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering." Put yourself in Abraham's place. This promised child. Do you remember how Abraham and Sarah had been barren, and when they were as near as dead, God gave them something they never expected? A child. Sarah laughed. She's not laughing now. But nonetheless, Abraham gets up early in the morning, saddles his donkey, and takes his only son, the son whom he loves, the son that he was willing to kill for, out into the distant place, into the mountains that God had shown him. And he begins to prepare the sacrifice. He gathers wood, lays it on his son, and as he himself carries the fire and the knife and the flint, and they walk up the hill together. And just as when God had called Abraham and Abraham said, "Here I am," it is now his son who cries out, "Father." And Abraham answers, "Here I am. Here I am, my son." "Well, where's the lamb?" Isaac is beginning to sort of get what's going on. "Where is the lamb that you should be bringing with us?" And he says, "Don't worry. God will provide." How many times have you heard that in your life? "Don't worry. God will provide." I bet not once have you ever connected it to the story of Abraham and Isaac. And so they build the altar. And even as Abraham stretches out his hand to do the unthinkable, to obey God in a way that I wonder how many of us would be able to obey God, even as he reaches out his hand to kill his son, once again we hear those words, "Abraham, Abraham." And once again he answers, "Here I am, here I am." And this time it is an angel who says, "Do not hurt the boy. You've passed the test." Well, much like the story of Hagar and Ishmael, this is a terrible story. It's terrible, certainly, from our modern sensibilities about what we believe in terms of human sacrifice. It certainly is a terrible story, and that it seems as if God is asking for something that we can't imagine God asking for. Life of a child? It makes no sense. Taken on its face, the story is shocking. But Abraham goes out into the wilderness with almost nothing. In fact, he's missing the very key thing that he needs, at least from Isaac's point of view, for the sacrifice. "The Lord will provide," he says to Isaac. And God does. It's a powerful story, really, about Abraham's unquestioning faith, a faith that, honestly, I don't think I share. I would be asking a lot more questions than Abraham asked. I would want more details. And I would certainly want to know the reason why the very gift God had given was to be taken away. But God provides. God truly provides in the end. The ram is caught in the thicket by its horns, and Abraham goes, and that then becomes the sacrifice to God. And not his son. You see, Abraham learns something that day. I would think we would learn as well. I don't think that the parallel between Abraham and Isaac and Hagar and Ishmael is an accident. The very thing that God prevents, as Abraham is trying to keep his heritage for himself and for his own son, born of Sarah, that very desire and movement towards self-preservation of holding in all of the blessings for himself suddenly stands ready to be taken away. And just as he obeyed Sarah, as he took Hagar out into the wilderness, so he obeys God and takes his own son to the same fate. These days, I know I certainly wonder how much I would be willing to sacrifice. God asked Abraham to give up literally everything. In the same way that hundreds and hundreds of years later, Jesus asks his disciples to give up everything that they know so that they can be sent out. God sends Abraham out into the wilderness, and Jesus sends his disciples out into the unknown places. Now, they're not being asked to sacrifice their sons, their firstborn, their heirs, but they're being called to sacrifice everything, to go out into the unknown, into the wild places. Just as Abraham is sent out and finds himself, so Jesus sends the disciples out to find us. And he tells them, look, when you go out, don't take anything with you. Don't bring the stuff for your sacrifice. Don't bring too many clothes. Don't bring much of anything. Just go and see what you find there. But more than anything, go and tell them about the gospel. And so they do. And just as Abraham's life was transformed when God rescues his son Isaac, so our lives are transformed when we hear the gospel. It turns out that the people of Abraham turn out to be a sent people. And so do we. Jesus sends his disciples and sends us with warning after warning. And then in this 10th chapter, in the 40th verse, Jesus says, but remember that when you are welcomed, you are welcomed. And whoever welcomes you welcomes Jesus himself. Nope, we're not willing to give up much. Certainly not willing to give up what Abraham was willing to give up, and yet we are willing to give up our very lives for Christ when we are sent. And we are sent not just to those who are powerful or desirable or who are like us. We are sent to the whole world. And whenever we offer even a cup of cold water to the little ones of this world, then we have fulfilled the will of God. It turns out that though Abraham thought there was not enough for both Isaac and Ishmael, it turns out there was. And God blessed them both. 2 loaves, 5 fishes. Just when we think there is not enough, there is plenty. And every time we try, like Abraham, to grasp our own destiny, God reminds us that the blessings do not come that way, but in our being sent. So God sends us out, like Abraham to the mountain, like the disciples into the village. God sends us out into paths that we cannot know and cannot understand, to be welcomed and rejected, to be loved and reviled, but most of all, to live in the deep and truthful love of a God who makes us and redeems us. I hope we can see the story of Abraham not as a man who was willing to kill his son, but as a disciple who was willing to be sent to live and to love in a way that he'd never expected, and who found himself like us in the mercy of God, sent into the world to bring God's peace, God's love, and God's joy. And so, dear church, be sent this day that you might also know what it is to be God's prophet in the world. Amen.